Smith Warhurst on ABC Radio.
When I'm thinking about climate change, I wouldn't put the Greek gods in there, but maybe it's an interesting thought. And they can actually help us perhaps respond to extreme weather events. Mark Crossweller has worked most of his life in emergency management and recently chaired the National Resilience Task Force. He's also a Buddhist who's fascinated by our ethical responses to leading people through loss and adversity. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Miff. How are you?
Good. Let's start at the beginning. You began your career in fire agencies. Tell us about that and where that took you.
Yeah, certainly. I lived on the northern beaches of Sydney near a national park called Ku-ring-gai Chase National Park, and I think I was 16 at the time, and that was back in 1979, and there was major fires running through the northern suburbs of Sydney. And I remember everybody preparing for the impact of that fire, and for some reason I still don't know why I did this, but I got on my push bike, and whilst everybody was preparing for the bushfire, I rode towards it, perched myself on top of the end of a fire trail on top of a ridge, and watched this extraordinary phenomena move across the landscape that exhibited such power and such force, it just had me mesmerised. And 3 years later, 4 years later, I joined the what was then called the Bushfire Brigades in New South Wales, and commenced my volunteer career up until about the age of 30, and I'd made my way through the ranks from firefighter through to deputy group captain, and then in 94 came on staff as an inspector, then superintendent, then assistant commissioner, then commissioner, then director general, then head of task force, and that's sort of happened over about 35 years. So I've been in the business a long time, Miff, and yep. It's taught me an enormous amount about humanity.
What's it taught you?
About ethics.
Individually and institutionally.
Sorry, say that again.
What's it taught you?
Look, I think it brings out the best and the worst of us, I think. And the reference to the Greek gods, I remember, I went through the Canberra fires with the local people here. I went through the Victorian fires, the Queensland floods, and so on and so forth, in various different capacities as a senior officer and commissioner and so on and so forth. And this ethical thing kept turning up all the time, and despite the fact that the industry was trying to do the best it could in the most adverse of circumstance, there was something going on where we weren't connecting with the very people we were trying to serve and help. And this is quite a long story, but let's cut it as short as we possibly can. What I discovered was that we kept talking to facts and figures, we kept talking to statistics, we kept talking to the rational side of our minds, if you like, or what we thought people wanted to hear. But the reality was that disasters were much more a matter of the heart than the head. And it was how people were feeling was far more important than what they were thinking. And what they were thinking was important, of course. I'm not saying it wasn't. But we weren't connecting with that. So I saw leader after leader who led in these operations become humiliated. And I realised, you know, in Greek mythology, there's the goddess Nemesis, the goddess of rightful vengeance. And when man thought he was, you know, a god and sailed too close, that Nemesis would come along and send him back down to earth and say, you're not a god, you're human, you know, get back to it, so to speak. And she was the goddess of humiliation. In other words, the lesson of humility. And I saw an industry have to face that really hard lesson of humility, of not knowing everything, of having to admit that it was vulnerable, having to admit that it had a limitation or many limitations really, and to renegotiate that and renavigate that with community. And just a profound lesson across, you know, many thousands of people, I think, and some understood it consciously and some subconsciously, but it really shook the industry when after operation of large scale, we were losing, at least in our minds at least, we're losing the trust and confidence of community. And if you talk to anyone in uniform or associated with emergency services in any way, shape or form, they take great pride in the service of others. And so to be seen as not delivering or not meeting that promise really affected people. And so the reference to the Greek gods is one of many references, I guess, that is that humility was fundamental to how we dealt with this problem, Miff. And I think Sir Francis Bacon said, you know, years ago in the 1600s, he was the founding philosopher of modern science. He said, nature, in order to be commanded, must be obeyed. And I can't help but think in today's society we've forgotten the last bit, and we continue to try and command, we continue to try and control, or we give disregard to the forces of nature. And whilst ever we do that, ultimately we will end up in a space of humiliation. There are, to personify nature, you know, she has demands, she has needs, and we need to listen and we need to meet those. And they're non-negotiable. Some of these things are just not negotiable. And I think the other thing I learned was that we had a psychology where we thought we could choose these things on some level, or we didn't want them. So there was this notion or suggestion of choice. That's not reality, of course, that we can choose the response. We can choose where and how we place ourselves upon the landscape, but we cannot choose the event. And it's chosen for us by the forces of nature and, you know, her ecology and landscape and atmosphere and so on and so forth. So it's, I think there's just some subtle but fundamental shifts required in the way we see these problems. We call them natural disasters and we blame nature. It's nothing to do with nature, so to speak. The hazard is an emerging force, but it's where and how we place ourselves upon the landscape, both historically, presently and in the future, actually makes the difference.
We've got a lot of work to do by the sound of things. Mark Crossweller is with us, expert in emergency management. Are governments wrapped about hearing this message or not? How did they respond to these new ideas?
Yes, look, initially no. I remember having some quite confronting conversations with ministers and senior bureaucrats about what I call the notion of inevitability. And by that I mean if any area in Australia has had a history of natural hazard and particularly severe to catastrophic, then really it's going to have that in its future. It's not going to disappear just because we want it to. So there is an inevitability about these things rising up. The way I navigated it, Miff, was to say, look, at the end of the day, governments can't trade out of this space. The governments are there to protect their citizens in times of adversity and loss and other factors, of course. So we'll be the last people standing, the first ones in and last people standing. So we really have to understand and respect these forces far more profoundly than we've ever done before. And there has been a shift, a significant shift in the way we prepare for severe to catastrophic events in Australia. I was criticised once for raising this issue, and I said to the person who proffered the criticism that as Director General of EMA at the time, advising the Prime Minister and the Australian Government, surely you would expect me to understand the full potentiality of the Australian landscape and its relationship with its atmosphere and what it was capable of producing. And the argument went away. It just went away because I think there was a realisation that, you know, we don't get to choose these things, and often what causes the greatest suffering is our ignorance, the ignorance of potentiality, the ignorance of those things that we just simply didn't want to look at.
Yeah. Do our authorities have a lot to answer for in terms of how we are allowed to build on the environment?
No, I don't think they've got a lot to answer for. I think they've got a lot to learn. And I think historically we could probably plead a level of, I wouldn't say blissful ignorance, but let's say largely unconscious ignorance. But now I think it moves more towards, or could do, move more towards willful neglect if we don't take on the lessons. I mean, our capacity in science to be able to sense the weather, climate, to be able to forecast it, to predict it, to better understand it is better than it's ever been, really, and still a lot more to learn. But we can no longer say we don't know. We only don't know because we choose not to. So I think moving forward, I think that probably comes more into play. I think historically, I would say, look, you know, we need to deal with what exists on the Australian landscape. Let's do so as efficiently and effectively as possible. But I think going forward, particularly with climate change effect, and there are, you know, essentially six things that are unprecedented arising from that space that we're going to have to tackle. That compels us to think much more deeply about the problem.
Well, you've done my job for me. You've tied it back to the ancient Greeks by mentioning Aristotle, because he spoke a lot about, mentioning willful neglect. He spoke a lot about that, Aristotle. What do we do, Mark, when we've lost a bit of trust in our institutions and their ability to respond correctly in situations like this?
So I think we need to recover it. I think that starts by an expression of two things, that we don't know at all, that we, in the worst of circumstances, become equally as vulnerable as those that we're serving. But I think we have the upper hand in terms that we still hold the knowledge and the expertise that we need to utilise, improve upon, invest in, and get better at in partnership with community through participative democratic processes. So I think the last thing Australia needs is the imposition of, you know, authorities on what they should be doing in crisis. So I think we need to, and we're already doing this, of course, moving much more to a sensible partnership about what that might look like. But I think in doing that, we should never forget that there are simply some people in society that cannot perform at the level for which governments expect them to, particularly in the space of resilience. And the task force that I headed up was very, very much focused on getting to the heart of risk reduction, as in terms of getting harm out of the system. So very much holding institutions to account to say, look, you create society. They don't happen by adding water. They're intentioned. They're intentioned largely by institutions. Think very deeply about climate and its associated impacts when you establish those intentions and you move forward in the construction of society. Otherwise, you're placing harms upon a landscape which people are going to have to experience.
Now, Mark, you've given us a lot to think about. Thank you for sharing your time today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Miff. You're very welcome.
Good on you, Mark. Mark's an expert in emergency management, talking about ethical responses to climate change and climate emergencies.